In the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the beginning of these pre-services, we will join in mutual prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, righteous God, we want to thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his crucifixion and victorious resurrection, open the way to heaven for us. We thank you for this gift of faith and for this kingdom where we have been able to live, and for our fatherland in Finland, which you have richly blessed us. We thank you that you have given us the desire to work, brothers and sisters, to arrange these Opus Dei services, and we pray that you would bless our services, that you would give through these poor servants encouragement and assistance on the way to heaven. We pray that you would give us travel friends, that no one here at these services or later would have to feel loneliness. We say yet that our greatest petition is that you would protect us in this faith until the end of our lives. We say in the words of your Son, which has taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thought to read for our mutual portion of examination from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, its fourth chapter, the first seven verses. And we hear these words in Jesus' name as follows. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. Paul writes that I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I thought that this letter was written in Rome. Or has Paul written it? Some researchers think that the form of the word is a little different, but it is still the letter of Paul and the revelations of Paul. Paul was on his third mission work at the end of it, and he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He put this, sent word to the believers of the Ephesians to come to Miletus. It was a city on the way on Paul's journey. And Paul had, he would like to see many of the familiar believers from Ephesus. And when he had talked and kept his speech, he informed the believers of Ephesus that now, as I am traveling to Jerusalem, and I don't know what will happen to me. And then he continues, but the Holy Spirit tells of these sorrow, this difficulties that are before me. Paul was a chosen vessel in the work of God's kingdom. When Ananias said to God that Paul had persecuted the believers, but Paul went to preach, the Lord said to Ananias, go to him because he is a chosen vessel of me to go to bring the gospel to the pagans and the Gentiles. Paul, in every place where he proclaimed the word of God, had often told of his own psalms and of his receiving of the grace of repentance. And when the congregation of Ephesus, when the Ephesians, when he greeted, said farewell to them, the 20th chapter of Acts speaks of this. It speaks in chapter 23. Dear brothers, I will leave you in the grace care of God's word, which is strong and will give you inheritance. It seems that in this verse is all the thoughts of Paul, which he wanted to leave to the believers of Ephesus. But Paul, in his journey, I have read, and the boys read this, that one read when they were coming and read when they were going, of a book where Paul was the emissary of the word of Christ. And I thought that I would briefly go through this journey of Paul to Jerusalem. When Paul had when he came to Jerusalem, he became a prisoner. He had to go through to before the Great Council. And at the first meeting of the Great Council, there was great chaos. And he was brought back into prison. But then again, those that wanted to persecute Paul, they wanted to kill him. But remember, Paul's sister's son came to warn him, the commander of the soldiers, that Saul or Paul was moved to Caesarea by a great throng of soldiers, and it was a time of Governor Felix. And then, when a decision from the meeting didn't come, Paul was in Caesarea for 2 years, and then the governor Festus came. And at the great meeting, Paul petitioned to the Caesar. He was a citizen of Rome. And Festus said, when you are petitioning to Rome, we will bring you to Rome. And so Paul went by ship towards Rome. And it was told in this book how that there were nearly 300 people on the ship. It was fall, and there were bad fall storms. And the angel of God appeared to Paul that no one will die, but the ship will become shipwrecked. And so it happened. The ship was shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta, and is still, it is the holy gulf or bay of Paul. And he wanted to, when he met believers, he spoke of the good God, and there were repentances. And in this book, to the Ephesians, and so it is in this letter to the Ephesians. When Paul said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. We service guests who have been preserved in our childhood faith, but also those that through the enticements of the world and the enemy of the soul left faith, but then received the grace of repentance later when we wonder of the miraculous word of God. We would want to pray for our close ones on their behalf, that they would receive the grace of repentance. And we can pray, and it is good to pray. And there it remains. Jesus says that no one can come to me, that the one that has sent me will not draw him. It is the work of God, completely, completely the work of God. But we still want to call those who are not partakers of this grace, we still want to call them into God's kingdom, which has approached them, and repent and believe the gospel. It is our message, even today, to those who aren't partakers of this grace. Paul says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In the book of James, in the fourth chapter, God stood against the proud, but to the humble he gave his grace. And our Redeemer, the Son of God, looks down on us from heaven. And as we read, isn't Jesus Christ our first example? He became man. He walked the way of suffering, and he was prepared to take this tribulation and this pain, that he would wanted to walk the way of God. And it still comes to mind of the Son of God, of that portion of the Bible where John wanted to baptize him when he knew and felt that this road that he had before him, we can admire this humbleness with Jesus, which Jesus Christ showed. But Paul also speaks of long suffering. I thought of this too. Is it long suffering also that we are not right away answering the questioner? That what comes to mind right away. I thought of as parents, any time from the younger or even from our questions to the old elders that we're not able to answer right away. Is it long-suffering also that we could say to them, I have to consider this question, that could we continue this discussion, for example, tomorrow? These mysteries of God's of God, we can consider. Before we would answer whatever that would come from our mouth. But then, was it 2 years ago, here at the Ranua at a seminar for mutual work, this thought remained in my mind from that seminar. This question about matters of faith, it is not questioning. Questions about matters of faith is not questioning it. That we would not become shocked by these complex questions. Our time is very difficult, and we often could be very distressing by these many different phenomena. But the kingdom of God is eternal. And as long as this earth is, God's kingdom is also. We do not have to fear or become oppressed. Paul also says, be forbearing to one another in love. In Tornio, a brother came to keep a presentation. This is many years ago. And he spoke about two backpacks that people have. There may be some other images, but he meant this, that we see this person, we know him, we greet him, we discuss with him. But there are also people, there could be such matters that aren't opened to only him or to those that are really close. There could be those that have been teased in school. There could be some very big as mountain problems in their lives. There could be emotional illnesses of which they do not want to speak, or being burnt out, or those trials. They are sometimes so heavy and very, very sensitive, and it's very difficult to open up about them. When in the letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes, he says that we instruct you, brothers, to admonish and encourage those downtrodden, strengthen the weak, and be long-suffering towards all, and continues yet, look that no one would treat bad with bad, but always try to do good to one another and to everyone. We pray to from God wisdom to approach, or that when we approach someone or visit with someone, that we would teach ourselves to be humble and long-suffering, and that we would be able to listen. Paul says, there is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And also says, and endeavor to keep contact through these bonds of peace. When Paul speaks of this peace which a believer can own through faith, my peace I give unto you. I don't give peace as the world gives. Let not your heart be sorrowful. Do not be afraid. In the winter, in January and February, I was asked to speak at these services, and I was able to choose this previous hymn, which we sang, hymn 319. I thought this, when here at the Opisto, we have been able to visit and see the youth, believing youth. And one time, so many at one time, that you go to services of Jesus, it's seen in your joyous gaze. It tells of this song which you sing in the midst of the tears of sorrow. We can be happy, believing youth, when you have received, you can possess this peace in your heart, and even also you elders. But I thought of you Opisto students, and how your way is so sober, and it speaks to older people, not just to Opisto students, but all believing youth can own this, possess this peace in the heart. But when I have been able to visit at this Opisto, a few of my younger boys have come to the Opisto, and I have seen this Opisto life from a closer perspective, that we can thank the Heavenly Father of this, that He has blessed and given the possibility that this Ranua Opisto can also be special needs, a special needs line. The line for the special needs students. It is a great matter to those who have special needs and are learning here, and they are learning the ABCs of life, and maybe on to I mean, independent life. But then I also think of this, at how much that the parents of these OPSO students and these campers receive from these special needs students to learn to getting along with different people. And when I went to the aula in the main building in the commons area, I saw the group picture of the OPSO students from this past year. I asked from a girl the special needs students are not in the front or in the back, but they are in the midst of this whole group, just as giving an example to us of all, to us and to all those who are at the OPSO, that what, how this free use of the gospel is. From them we can learn the how we dwell in God's kingdom. Paul says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. In the world, there has always been two types of sermons, the sermon of faith and the sermon of unbelief. When we speak of Joshua and Caleb, and just before we read a few of these verses, when we think of this narrative of Joshua and Caleb, that the hearts of believers have just been nested in this great trust in the guidance of God. When Moses gave to the 12 tribes, to the leaders of the 12 tribes, to guard the promised land, or to spy on the promised land, they were on this journey for 40 days, and they examined this promised land, that what happened there, that can we go there? Can we overcome these people in the army there? There were two believers, Joshua and Caleb, of those men. And we could say that the message that these other men brought from there was not the type which was waited for or expected. But then it is said that we say giants and terrible things, and we were like grasshoppers before them. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. These 10 of these spies told Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel very bad news. We cannot go there. Why does God bring us to this land to die? Our children and our wives will be treasure, rewards for them. But then came Joshua and Caleb, who were also spying, and they tore their clothing and they began to tell about the land which they were going through was good land. If God has goodness towards us, he will bring us to this land, and he will bring us there where bread and honey flow. Let's not be stiff-necked against God. And we do not have to fear and that the Lord will be with us. We do not have to be afraid of them. Joshua and Caleb had complete trust that God would guide our journey. In this gift of faith, which we receive and can possess in our heart, is also this trust, and this trust of what is to come. I recently read the end part of the Sermon on the Mount. Do not be worried of the coming days, that we are children of the day. We many times suffer about the coming days, but we can nevertheless leave this on the gracious will of God. But also, when we speak of this mutual faith, when Jesus appeared to the travelers on the way to Emmaus, the two brothers were walking the way of to Emmaus in great doubts. And terrible things had just happened. Even though Jesus had explained to them many times what is to come to happen, but nevertheless, after Jesus' death on the cross, they had very great fears and doubts. In great doubts, they walked towards Emmaus. And Jesus appeared to them and started walking with them. And what kind of message did the Son of God gave to these doubters? He said, "Oh, those you slow of heart to believe, and all this which the prophets have spoken, and he began to speak about Moses and all the prophets, and he explained to them of the writings which were of him. There weren't many types of matters of faith. There weren't many ways which bring one to heaven. He's explained of Moses and all the prophets. And it is always just as touching. It is also so wonderful. While in the midst of these doubts, they could hear the gospel, the beautiful message of the gospel. When they felt that Jesus, when he broke bread and their eyes opened and they knew him, didn't our hearts burn when he explained the writings, Holy Scriptures, on the way to Emmaus? in the midst of these trials and doubts, a clear way became clear towards which they would travel. And they rejoiced and returned to Jerusalem. It is also said here, Paul says here, is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In the 62nd Psalm, David, a psalm of David, David, as if says this, that what though is the portion of God in his life, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be unmoved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. We do not understand the almightiness of God. Our man's reason is not enough. When Job was tried very hard, we could say that in this way, that these trials which Job experienced, they were terrible. The members of his family died, and he lost all his animals. And Job wondered about this. Why has God tried him so strongly? I won't say more about this book of Job, but then when God began to teach Job, I don't remember much. That he said, tell me where hail comes from, and all these miracles of animals and other things God asked of Job. And when Job listened, he understood this, that the deeds of God we cannot know, and the mind of man cannot understand. And Job said to God, look, I am cheapened. What can I answer? I put my hand over my mouth. Job did not want to say anything more. And he didn't want to be impatient and question God, but he wanted to be obedient to the will of God, and he was blessed in many ways after this. But the almightiness of God is also this: when a small boy was playing with the sand on the shore of the sea and making big holes, and the person walking by asked, what are you doing? And the boy said, I'm going to make such a big hole that all the water of the sea will fit here. we could say that in understanding we're on the same level, that we do not, with the mind of man, are able to understand his mightiness. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And the motto of this, that I will trust your grace. All of you, the most tempted child of God, where the sin is the greatest, so great is the grace of God. And so you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, unto peace, freedom, and joy. Remain in the grace care of God's word. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. You have permission to believe, you small children, boys and girls. Be blessed and secure and comforted. Believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.